I think they are envious of what we represent, which is we are children of God. I think that they see us as inferior, like cattle, like a cattle in a cattle yard. And so there is the lack of empathy is more about how a raw rancher like Upton Sinclair's The Jungle hoists a cow up and slaughters it in the meat market or in the factory butcher space. I think that's how they see us.
Hey guys, Sean from SGT Report here. That was Scott Kesterson. And what you're about to hear is the conversation that we continued to have after the official call ended. I think you're going to enjoy it very much. And then stay tuned because I have an incredibly important interview featuring Mickey Klahn from Our Great Awakening channel on YouTube. We're all learning from each other, right? I learned from Alphonse and Crow, and from an interview I had with those two guys, Stephen, a father of three who lives in Ohio, started to dig into public official assurity bonds, and he made a groundbreaking discovery.
So I started looking into public official bonds, and I found public official assurity bonds, and that's some pretty powerful stuff. It's been on the books since 1792. Congress put it enacted for the paymaster for a $20,000 bond to guarantee his public official status. And it's just carried on ever since. Everybody's bonded. They just don't know what it's for. They just know they have to have it. And once you really start digging into them, they're powerful. And they can unseat anybody as far up as the state, even up to the state governor.
Which is how we can now defeat these tyrannical school boards. And Mickey Klahn of Our Great Awakening features a woman who did just that and defeated her local school board and their stinking tyrannical mask mandates. This is the information we all need to know. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in and spreading this information far and wide. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. CBD oil is becoming one of America's most popular alternatives to big pharma drugs. This is not surprising considering how therapeutic it is. Very few things will help you more with chronic pain or stress than CBD oil. But choosing the right CBD oil can be difficult. I suggest natural hemp oil. Here's why. First, natural hemp oil will help you feel better and recover faster than anything you've tried. Second, it'll improve your health on both a mental and physical level. And third, natural hemp oil is one of the safest and healthiest oils to consume. It's triple lab tested and non-GMO. Natural hemp oil also has no pesticides, herbicides, or chemical fertilizers. If you want to treat chronic pain without contributing to big pharma, you'll really love natural hemp oil. Order today by going to naturalhempoil.com and use promo code SGT20 for 20% off.
I was dealing with Tesla's concepts the other day, vibration, frequency, and energy, which have all been, by the way, interestingly, those three terms have been captured by the New Age movement. So when you talk to, I have obviously a strong faith base in my audience. When you bring those in, they're immediately like, oh, you're going into that crazy New Age stuff. And so I literally just started it out and I said, here's what we're going to talk about today. And we're going to take the terms back and we're going to put it back in scripture. And I want you to hear me. And it went over really well in that context because I prefaced it.
What three terms have they hijacked?
Frequency, vibration, and energy.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's Tesla's science. I mean, Tesla has said, if you understand those three principles of life, you'll understand the universe.
Yeah.
And so the New Agers have created this whole, like, you know, we're ascending to a new order. And there's not that there's not truth in this. I'm just saying the way they do it, you know, it's like we must elevate our personal vibration to connect our frequencies with a greater universe and everything will be better as we move into a 5D world. And it's like, we'll escape this place. And it's like, okay, whatever. We're going to be here fighting for a while.
Yeah.
So,
well, I should have asked you on the call. It would have been interesting to ask you if you think, because I've heard, I'm not an expert on this, but I've heard the term apocalypse means an unveiling. Because, you know, as a child, I always thought the apocalypse meant like Armageddon, end of the world, like fire and brimstone stuff. Mm-hmm. And, but if the apocalypse is really just the unveiling, maybe we're going through the apocalypse right now because we're seeing these dark forces, these children of darkness that we've never seen before. I mean, to the degree we can name them and point them out, and Reiner Fulmick wants to put these people in tribunals and put them in prison.
Right. No, I think there's a lot to this. I think that when we start, I've been kind of back up just a second. I've been using NASB 1995 now as a translation in the Bible. And the reason for that is it's one of those that goes back quite accurately in the translations of the origin. But nonetheless, when we start to open up our eyes to Scripture, Scripture is a gives us a great deal of insight, but it doesn't give us the, I don't abide by the legalist point. Like it says this, therefore this. Many times what we're left with is these deeper meanings of things because we don't have the context of Greek or Latin or even Hebrew or sometimes even older languages, right? So I do agree with that concept a lot that we are, that a lot of this apocalyptic view is the end of a way of thinking, a way of being, a way of existing. And that's literally what we're facing right now, no matter how you cut it. We are in a form of apocalypse. I just don't try to play the idea that I can tell you based on this event, this event, this event, that on this date, this is going to happen. It's like, I don't agree with that at all. But I do think that we are shuddering, destroying the way that we were. I don't think we can disagree on that. I mean, no matter where we go, we're either going to go into enslavement or we're going to go into some greater awakening as humanity. But one way or the other, that's the paths ahead.
Yeah, that's what I keep saying. Either we're going to get the Great Reset or the Great Awakening. It's one or the other at this point. So I guess I'd ask you this. Do you think these people truly hate humanity or do they just love money?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, Sean. I think this is what my conclusion has been. I think they are envious of what we represent, which is we are children of God. I think that they see us as inferior, like cattle, like a cattle in a cattle yard. And so there is the lack of empathy is more about how a raw rancher like Upton Sinclair's The Jungle hoists a cow up and slaughters it in the meat market or in the factory butcher space. I think that's how they see us. So I don't think there's an emotion of love or hate. I think it's more about we are efficient animals that are treated as animals and we will be managed like animals. And when we step out of line, that's not our place to do because they are the elite, which accounts to me. There's a lot of that when I do that, I look at that, I'm like, these people really just don't see us as human. They see themselves as only human. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, which is why they want to own us, which is why they would have the audacity to patent us and, treat us like cattle. That's
exactly right. And the desire to control us, because it's really when you get into some of these mentalities, it's interesting to watch it. When I worked in the DoD space, it was interesting to see this idea of the constant threat mentality. Like somehow there's always going to be a threat that we have to manage. Therefore we have to manage everybody. And it's like, no, that's not what we're intended to do. But this evolves to being this place where everybody needs to be tagged and tracked because otherwise one of these people is going to step out of line and we can't have them step out of line and threaten the herd, so to speak. And it's like, okay, well, that's not the way humans work, but that's the thinking that it inculcates a lot of where they are. And the higher up they get, I believe that it is very intentional. It's like these people are part of a herd. We're part of an elite and they must be obedient because we have things we need out of them.
Well, I can let you go. We've gone long here. I appreciate it. One last word here. I kind of think the Amish got it right. Right? Oh. Just turn off the TV, say no to the technology because life is so much better. Because, you know, we talked in the interview about the fourth industrial revolution and transhumanism. They got us halfway there with the smartphones because
they sure did.
Go back and look at the footage from Live Aid, you know, Queen's performance, U2's performance, all those wonderful performances. The people in the audience were in the moment. They were viewing the performances and they didn't have phones in front of their faces. Now you see these concerts and everybody's viewing the performance through their smartphone, even though they're there at the event. It's insanity.
It is really. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, the most you ever got at an old concert was a lighter. Now, like, you know, it's funny because they say you don't see lighters anymore. You see everybody raising their phone up.
Yeah, that's right. Their lighter app on their phone.
Exactly. It's like, oh, I've got a digital flame. It's like, oh, that's cool. Wonderful.
Good job, sheeple. Well, it's no wonder they're going to suck most of these people into the metaverse and the folks won't even know what hit them.
It's true, man. I mean, that is the trap of traps. And this is, you know, it's where I've said, you know, like, be careful of the middle path, because the middle path, and this again, I'm just going to encapsulate this. I'm not mad at Trump, but people need to understand that he's also a business guy. And from that lens, this is very attractive to reset America on this new industrial revolution. Trump is not a digital guy. He talks about it all the time. I don't know that he even has a view. Someone asked me this the other day, do you think Trump can articulate the fourth industrial revolution? I said, no, I don't think he can. I think the truthers that we are represent, this truth path, we're looking with really open eyes as the consequence. We're managing information and we're looking forward and saying, look at this amazing track we're on, or let's be aware of where this leads us, because we're doing historical and future research or looking towards the future trends. When we talk to a lot of these politicians, and Trump is now a politician, like it or not, there it is a day-to-day thing, he's coming from a New York framework of reference. He's looking from a business point of view of growth. And these other things are not in the purview. And it's easy, if you get the wrong people around him, to influence him and direct him in places that could have dire consequence.
And friends, this concludes the bonus track with Scott Kesterson.
That's awesome.
Okay, guys, that concludes the after interview conversation with Scott Kesterson. Now, please stay tuned, because what you're about to hear is critically important information if you want to defeat these stinking criminal tyrannical school boards that are taking bribe money, literally federal government ESSER funds, bribes that have rolled out from the federal government to school districts in all 50 states, bribes of more than $100 billion. These school boards are beholden to those bribes, and that's why they're sticking to this tyranny. But this is how you defeat them. Thanks for tuning in. And for real news every single day, visit us directly at sgtreport.com, the antidote to corporate propaganda. God bless.
Hey, you guys, it's Mickey Klon again. I'm so, so excited today to be bringing to you two of the biggest superheroes, I think, in my heart and soul right now, who are fighting the fight of the school boards. I've got Violet with me today, and I've got Anne. Anne, you've been on my program before, so welcome back. And Violet, thanks for joining us.
Yep, happy to be here.
So I don't know if I've told my audience that much, but we recently started a project called Bonds for the Win, B-O-N-D-S. For the win, because there was this gentleman, his name was Steven, and he was on the SGT report, and he was explaining, and they were telling a case study of how Steven had walked in, and he pretty much put his entire board of directors at his school district on notice. He said, "This is my letter to file an intent against your bond claim if you do not remove the mask mandates now." They all looked at each other, and they immediately voted to retract on the requirement for mask mandates. So that got Anne pretty interested and pretty excited. She called me up and said, "We need to start something. We need to do something." So we started a project called Bonds for the Win. And we have our first major, major win. And so Violet is our superstar. So I am so, so, so excited today to tell you guys about what Violet did. Just little old Violet in her little town making waves. So Violet, can you tell us a bit about your story, your son, you know, what you did first, second, and third, and then how they reacted?
Yes, to go all the way back. My son is 16. He is autistic, and he was having a lot of anxiety issues from wearing the mask to begin with. I contacted the principal at the beginning of the year stating this was going on. They first were going to allow it, but then the teachers were masking him at school. He started having more anxiety issues, more aggressive behavior towards himself, wanting to hurt himself, that type of thing. We ended up having to move him to a hospital to get psychiatric help, essentially. And this, you know, when I found out about Bonds, you know, I went gung-ho for it. Me and Ann worked together very, very hard, many countless hours. She's wonderful. First I did the FOIA request through, I actually had to go through the county superintendent, because the district refused to, go with my FOIA request. So through the county superintendent, I was able to obtain the bonds for the superintendent, the assistant superintendent, and the two treasurers. So,
What were they for? What was the coverage amount? What was the liability? $4 million.
$4 million.
So I'm going to take a minute to explain to people in simple terms what a bond is. Is that okay for our audience? Okay.
Yes.
So I think the best way to explain what a bond is if you look at bail bonds. So if your friend gets thrown in jail and there's $1 million bail, you don't have $1 million. So you go and you take out a bond for, let's say, $5,000. And that bond states, I am personally willing to take the liability that my friend will show up during their court hearing. And I will put my house, my car, my boat, whatever it may be, as collateral for that $1 million. In other words, I am claiming liability for my friend. And so if my friend does not show up at that court hearing, I am now the liable party, and the bond company will come after me as sort of a collection agency to resolve the situation, right? So the thing that most people don't realize is that every public, elected, and appointed official is bonded, and they're required to by the federal government. So some states have skirted some of these laws, and each state is sort of uniquely different. But in this case, Illinois, which is the state that Violet is in, and she's representing the Bethalto district, school district. So she knew that if she could acquire this bond, right, that she could take action against this board. So keep going. Sorry, just want to make sure everybody understood that the individuals on these boards are personally liable, which means that the superintendent that she just acquired this bond for is personally liable for $4 million per claim. And there are many more people in the same district that are in the same seat as Violet whose children were physically or mentally injured by this mask mandate. So go ahead, keep going.
That's okay. No, that's good. People do need to understand what the bonds are for, absolutely. So once I obtained the copy of their bond and their bond insurance, surety bond insurance, I work with Ann yet again on creating the letter of intent to file, which lists several federal, international, and Nuremberg Code violations that we found that these laws, you know, these mandates break, and basically put them down on one big spreadsheet. And then we are able to create demands on what we wish them to do, which mine was for removal of the mask mandates, make them optional, for her to step down and for her to make a public confession, basically, on what these on how these laws have been broken. After that,
so really quick. So you have to do that step. You have to serve them. It's like serving them a lawsuit. Almost you're saying here, I'm serving you with papers. I will give you X number of days in order to resolve this problem. I expect X, Y, and Z. In this case, you wanted her to resign. You wanted her to admit she was wrong to the public and you wanted them to pull the mask mandates, right?
Correct.
And,
yes.
And so you gave her how many days to do that?
It was 5 days.
Okay.
5 days, which I feel was pretty appropriate. I feel like that was pretty lenient. We could have gone 72 hours, but instead we chose 5 days. After you complete, you know, the paperwork, then you do have to serve them, but it has to be given to them individually. She chose not to meet with me on several occasions. I mean, she was finding every way possible to not meet with me. I even, the sheriff even offered a chance for her to meet me at the police station and do it there, you know, peacefully. And she refused to do that. I mean, we were going, you know, roundy roundy there for quite some time. So, finally when school started again, I was able to go up to the district office and serve her there. So, and, you know, we waited the 5 days. I tried to be lenient. Nobody responded. She didn't respond. When that happens, if they do not respond to your request, then in the given amount of time, then you are able to file with the bond company, in which I did so. It was only after that the lawyers had instructed the districts in the area that the masks were going to have to come off. They were going to lose this one. And when you do this, when you actually have to file, which some may not have to, however, when you do file, if you have to file, all federal and state funding is removed from the district, and they do not have their funding anymore. So nobody's going to be paid. They don't have their ESSER, you know, funding.
Let me clarify for people. This, you guys, this is so beyond huge. Like I was screaming in my car when we found. Do you understand that? So the day after Violet filed, okay, the day after she filed a claim against their bond, we have them on record, the council, the lawyers telling the board, these masks have to go. They've blocked all state and federal funding until this issue is resolved. They were even sending out emails asking parents to come and help volunteer at the schools because they weren't going to be able to pay the teachers. I mean, talk about putting on the brakes. And didn't they kind of leave her out to dry? They left the superintendent with the $4 million liability. It's like, poof, you're on your own.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. I do believe they left her out to dry. Because she's the one liable for this. Boards and superintendents are all liable for this. So then the next day after that, so 2 days after I filed, they sent a message out to all the parents to check the website for an update. And sure enough, they had it on there that masks are optional, but recommended, but optional for the children. So it was quite a shock. It's a big win. You know, my message is that this process works, and no matter the outcome, no matter how much you have to fight, if they don't listen and they ignore and you have to file, which I don't think many will, then the reward is still worth it. It's up to us parents. It's up to the Mom Alliance in the country to stand up to these tyrannical school districts that have chosen money over our rights. You know, it really is.
Yeah. And in this process, Anne, you really did a lot of research into the ESSER funding. And I feel like in a sense, a lot of these boards are in precarious situations. They're good people in a bad situation and they don't know it. In many cases, the third round of ESSER funding, which came through the Biden administration, came with this ability to say, you know, if you enforce these, you know, mask mandates and even run vaccine clinics. Sorry, I shouldn't say that word in my channel, but, you know, clinics, and then also to promote it to the children and pull out the CTR programs, et cetera, in exchange, they're getting this money. So in a sense, they're getting bought out. I mean, they're taking bribes.
Exactly. You have to realize the federal government offered $115 million. To the school district.
Billion.
Yeah. Yeah. Excuse me. $115 billion to all 50 states of all the school districts. So the CDC got wind of it. So what did the CDC do? They pushed another $10 billion into that bill to make it $125 billion. So basically, the CDC is controlling the narrative in this ESSER bill. And there's seven states that I literally found that the Secretary of Education out of Washington, D.C., literally wrote these states letters and told them, basically, you have taken these funds. You have to follow these rules. You can't stop them. So the states that had their executive orders or their, you know, cease and desist orders and all these things put into place had their hands blocked, because we have to realize how the government works. And that was complicated. We always thought that the governor of our state is the one who accepts the funds. Well, no, he's not. Actually, the State Board of Education, under all state laws, is a free enterprise. Mm. It's like a free corporation.
Yep.
So they're allowed to accept any federal and state funding. It's up to them to decide.
And we had found letters from DC, basically the Biden administration, pushing some of those governors who had removed mask mandates to reinstate mask mandates so they could push the money to the, you know, the school districts, and the school districts were putting pressure on the governors saying, hey, could you please put back this mask mandate? Because we don't want the parents fighting back against us at the schools. So it's really, you know, it's, again, it's good people in some cases being put in compromising positions, but still they work for us. So I think one of the most common questions we get, and that I should ask both of you, is do we need a lawyer to be involved in this process? Is it designed for lawyers, or is it designed for the citizens, the bond process?
The bond process is a one-on-one person. It does not need a lawyer. So Mickey, you're bonded. You've hurt me. I'm not going to go get a lawyer. I am going to write my own paper and I'm going to give it to you. And I'm going to tell you what you've done to me. And I'm going to ask you to right your wrong. If you don't want to right your wrong, it's up to me to go to the bond company to file a claim against your bond.
Right.
Then as it's at the bond company will notify you. So you have two options when your claim goes to the bond company. You can either contact me and we can work out a settlement, and then I will cancel your claim. I will say, okay, everything is fine. I can cancel your claim and I will no longer put a claim against your bond. Or if you don't want to work with me and you don't want to work with the bond company, then you've signed a power of attorney with the bond company because you have a very large bond. So a power of attorney means that the bonding company has the right and the authority to literally investigate the situation. So the bonding company will come to me and I will present my case to the bonding company, and I will give them my supporting documents and all of my documentation to support my claim. Now the bonding company will go to you and they will ask you, how are you going to defend this? Now it's up to you to defend yourself, to prove that what I'm saying is not correct.
Yeah.
If you do not prove this, the bonding company will go back to their office and they will find in my favor. Then they will notify you again because you wasted their time. They had to spend X number of dollars on investigating this. Your liability has now gone up, up. You owe the bonding company more than what your bond is now. So now the bonding company contacts you and they tell you you're liable for that claim. You need to pay that claim. If again, you refuse to pay that claim because the bonding company has your power of attorney, they will pay the claim.
Okay.
So I get just the amount of the bond. That's it. Amount of the bond. And now the bonding company comes after you and you're 100% liable for two times investigation, the payment of the claim, plus everything the bonding company has done. And everything that you have put up as collateral on that bond, they can seize 100% of it. You've lost everything. And not only that, but once you lose your bond, it's very, very, very difficult to get a second bond or anybody to bond you, because you have to realize in these states, there's only one, maybe two authorized bonding companies that can write surety bonds for government officials.
Exactly. So, okay. So I'm going to recoup that and recuperate, restate what you guys just said. So one, you have to get the bond. Two, you have to serve a letter of intent. And three, if they still don't rectify the situation, you have to file a claim with their bond company, right? So those are the three steps. And then let's talk about the people that are bonded. So you have superintendents who are appointed, are bonded. You've got board of directors, especially at the district level. You don't want to go toward just your school. You want to go to the entire district. Those are the people that are going to be bonded, right?
Yes, you got to realize anybody who wants to go after a school principal or a school, you know, counselor, you can't do it. They're not bonded. They have nothing to do with it. You have to literally go to the governing board of directors for your school district. And you start with the governing board because they're the ones who make all the decisions for your district. They're the ones who pass the laws down And
the State Board of Education, right? What about going all the way up to the State Board of Education? We can go after them as well, right?
Right. But basically, you have to take down the lower levels. You have to take down the districts, all the districts first.
And that's because at the district level, they determine what they're going to use the ESSER funds for, right? They're the ones who are taking the bribes, essentially. They're the ones who are deciding what type of clinics they want to run out front. Okay. But also mayors and sheriffs, right? City councilmen.
Health officials. Like if you have a health director in your area. So in one state, the city council voted to get rid of all the mask mandates, and the director of the health in that area, who is an appointed public official, she overrode the council. She thought she had the authority to override the council and says, no, we're not getting rid of the mandates. We're keeping them. So anybody who oversteps their bounds of their authority and think they're higher, they can enforce anything, is responsible and can be filed against.
Okay, so I want to ask you some more questions, Violet, but before I do, I just want to say, so we did create this website, Bonds for the Win. You can go to that site, you can pull up your state, and we're continuing to add to that, but you can pull up the state statutes that we're finding that most states are in violation of. But ultimately, the parents and the people in the community that want to get involved, they do have to identify which state statutes they want to, you know, declare that have been broken based on their situation, right? And correct. So there is some research. You have to be ready to do the work, right? And any one of us can make a difference, and we should all try, right? That's JFK Senior saying that. I think it's so amazing how Violet made such a huge difference, because not only did they block all federal and state funding, set this lady kind of out on her own and stop all mask mandates, but they also, we noticed a trickle down effect of other districts pulling back. In other words, all through California, some people were pulling their phone numbers off the websites of the board of directors. They were pulling their phone numbers and their contact information. They're scared, and they know we're coming after them. Sometimes also you found that the bond information is buried in a liability policy.
Exactly. It's called a surety liability insurance.
Okay.
Yeah. Or they have a surety, liability, fidelity policy that covers the school district and all the affairs of the school district. They list, you know, pages of it, you know, like bleachers and things like this. And down at the bottom is the criteria of being bonded. It has the exact same criteria of being bonded. It has the exact liability and fidelity clauses inside of there. It lists the board of directors. It lists also elected or appointed public officials. It doesn't list anybody about, you know, principals or teachers or anything like this. And then it tells you what the insurance is. And in those clauses, it's $1 million per person. And each one of the persons, if somebody files against that policy, has a $40,000 deductible. So even if you have the insurance, Mickey, and I file against you, you're still going to have to come up with $40,000.
Yeah.
And the insurance company comes up with the rest.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. And I do just want to point out, in Arizona, they rewrote our state statutes to put every elected and appointed public official under the governor's bond. It's a blanket bond. So anyone out there who's watching this, if you have access to that bond, could you give me a shout? Because it's going to be a big deal, right? If we could just get a hold of that one bond. And of course, it says in Arizona state statutes that they are required to provide us with this information under, you know, under the law as public record. And it's not a, you know, I don't need a, like a, all I need is a photocopy, right? I don't need a certified copy. I don't need anything special. I just want the photocopy as a public servant. And what they're trying to do, they're supposed to hold it at the Secretary of State's office. And they're trying to tell me I can't come in there because they're closed indefinitely for, you know, this thing, which is a joke. So anyway, anyone watching out there, if you know of, or you can help me get a hold of that one piece of paper, it will change everything in the entire state of Arizona. It is a single point of failure for them. And we are trying to help push bills forward to rectify that so that in Arizona, every single elected public, you know, has their own bond. But so Violet, one of the things that I find fascinating about your story, and I think we should dive deeper into it before we end today, and that sure. is the situation that you ran into when trying to serve this woman. I mean, she pretty yes. much called the police on you. She tried to file a complaint against you because you were trying to ring on her doorbell. I mean, it was interesting. So if you had to do all over again, would you wait to serve during like a public hearing or a board meeting?
Yes, absolutely. And just to clarify, there's no laws on where you can serve them. You can serve them at Walmart, their home, the school, coming out of the dollar store, you know, you can serve them anywhere. But yes, if I were to do it differently, I would serve at a board meeting when they're all there. It's being recorded. You have witnesses to show that, yes, they have been served. It's been recorded that they're required to post on their website. But yeah, she just tried everything she could not to meet with me. When I pulled in, I watched her walk up the driveway and walk in her house. So I knew she was there. So, ringing on her doorbell apparently scared her. So she did call the police and said that I was trespassing, which, you know, I explained to the officers the process and the legal rights that us citizens have to do these for the surety bond. So, and they actually called her and told her, well, you're going to get served. So it's basically what they told her, and they patted me on the back for standing up for my rights. So, but yes, if anybody's out there, going through this process, the best way to do it is at that board meeting. Don't get too overzealous. And that way, again, you have witnesses, it's recorded, so on and so forth.
Yeah, they can't say you didn't serve them. Even if they didn't sign the document, they can't. Oops, we lost Violet. Okay, so then the other thing that was interesting about your situation is you went down to the bond company to file the claim, and they had never even had anyone file a claim before. What? I mean, you must have been like, for a company and you've never, ever had anyone file a claim. This is how.
Yeah. Yeah.
This exactly. is how much of a hidden and secret I mean, these things are.
Yeah, absolutely. It took a little bit for them to understand the process of it. They had the necessary paperwork as they're required to, but we had to both understand it. And the other thing I was running into when I sent the initial FOIA request to the county superintendent's office, they said they'd never FOIA'd anyone's surety bond either before ever. So they had to find out how to pull them and do it the right way. So yeah, this has been hidden from us, or we forgot about it, but this process can get done with a little perseverance and a little bit of homework. So yeah. But thankfully we've got some stories underway and we understand the process and what their responsibilities are and what our rights are for us to go forward with it with everyone else.
Yeah. So I'm going to stress that if anyone wants to do this in their local district or in their state, we have a website, Bonds for the Win. You can come fill out our contact us form. We're here to help. We're here to tell you what's working, what's not in various states. We have deep researchers, but we also have people that are just willing to help you boots on the ground, feel confident enough to stand up to your board. I know it's scary. We're out, we're all fish out of water. Figuring out as we go, but I'm just so proud of you, Violet. Like, really, I can't wait to follow up with you again to hear the updates, in a week or 2 months or so, whatever. If you have more news, feel free to come on the channel and let's get you on. And we also, our channel, we have a Telegram channel, right? Again, that one's called Bonds for the Win. And I'll post that link below to the Telegram channel. That too is a place for people to find support among their local community. And at some point we may have people breaking off statewide, to take action in each individual state. So thank you so much, ladies. Do either one of you want to add any final comments?
Okay. The only thing I'm going to let everybody know is there's two people that never will fall under a blanketed bond. One is the treasurer and one is the secretary of state. Those people will never, ever, ever, oh, a sheriff also. He cannot fall under a blanketed bond. So those people have to be bonded. So even if a governor, you know, decides to get a blanket bond, it doesn't work for everybody. There is certain people that have to be bonded, and that is federal laws. So they can't get up around it.
Okay. And that's another thing before I forget, then we should talk about sheriffs, because I did not know how powerful sheriffs were until this process. And just to let everyone know, I plan on working with the constitutional sheriffs in my area, because they basically uphold the law of the land in their county. I mean, they have complete jurisdiction. They can even send the FBI away if they want to. And they too are bonded. So if they don't help us obtain our Freedom of Information Act, which they're saying FOIA, often, but many cases too, it says in the Arizona state laws that, in the individual state laws, that you have access to this public record. It is your, they serve us as public officials, and therefore there certain things are public record, and bonds are one of them. So if you can't obtain the bond for your district or for whoever it is that you're trying to go, you know, and confront, get your sheriff involved, because the sheriff is also bonded to uphold the oath of the Constitution of the United States of America and the Constitution of their various states. We lost your video there. Okay. So you know what I'm saying? So like, that is huge. The sheriff is the way in if you can't obtain your bond. Would you agree, Ann?
Okay. Yes. The sheriff is a constitutional sheriff. He's not a state constitutional sheriff. He is literally the constitutional sheriff of the land. He's the law of the land. So think about, let's go all the way back to the cowboy days, and you know, when people first started coming to America, who was the law of the land? It was always the sheriff. The sheriff was allowed to go and arrest, go and pick up, go and prosecute, and the sheriff is the highest law of the land. Even the governor of the state could not take the sheriff out of office.
Really?
Exactly. So unless the sheriff does something really, really bad, he will fulfill his term one way or the other.
Well, again, I've never seen anyone file a claim against, or a bond claim against, a non-constitutional sheriff, but you know, when they're breaking the federal laws, aren't they still liable?
Yes, they are. And we can literally file tort violations against them in federal court. But that's a different story for another day.
Okay. All right. Wow. Well, again, like I said, great job, Violet. I'm so proud of you. I'm so excited. And thanks again for coming on my show and for helping us out with this effort. We've got far more videos and far more people throughout the country who are about to follow suit. And we're going to be posting their videos as they record them. Anyone who wants to do this, we recommend that you record yourself, send us the recording of the hearing or the, you know, the board meetings, so that we can post it on our channels. And because, you know, courage is contagious. It really is.
Yeah, sure is. It sure is. Thank you, Mickey, for having me on. I appreciate it. I'm glad to tell my story. I hope it helps others.
Me too.